At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
You are listening to the Leighton Orient Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. I'm joined in the studio with the E10 Mess podcast. The Knowledge, Brendan Pitcher, Rob Edwards and Adam Sampson are all in the studio joining me, Charlie Hawkins. There is so much to talk and get through tonight. We're going to be looking at the weekend's game to Crawley, a disappointing 3-2 defeat there. We said that home form would be so important, a really disappointing loss there. We're going to be looking at the game with Salford City on the weekend, a massive game there. Some sort of rivalry I'm hearing about. They were both promoted this year. They're back in the Football League. It all kicked off last year between the two teams a little bit. Handbags, we're going to be talking it all there, of course. And delighted to say, joining us in 15 minutes' time, we are talking to Kent Teague, the Leighton Orient Vice Chairman and Principal Investor. But before all that, let's look at the game then from the weekend, because where do we start? 1-0 up, then 2-1. You've lost 3-2. Sloppy defending. We're going to get to all of it. Brendan, I'll start with you. What were your first initial thoughts on the game?
It was quite frustrating, really, because we spent most of our first few games being like, oh, a bit too defensive with five at the back, haven't really got enough going forward. So, kind of, Embleton remedied that by playing a 4-2-3-1 with James Brophy at left back that was just kind of too much the other way, way too attacking, not enough balance. And you kind of feel he was a bit naive with his team selection there. Although we did dominate the game and we played quite well and probably deserved the win in the end, we were caught out by some sloppy goals and it was very avoidable, really. Yeah,
very avoidable. You need to eradicate them sloppy mistakes. You are now no longer unbeaten at home. We said home form is really key this year, Rob. Are you disappointed that you did go down the way you went down towards Crawley?
Yeah, obviously. I think, again, we've played well. As Brendan said, we've remedied the sort of lack of danger going forward. I thought we played really well, lots of chances. Same with Stevenage, probably should have been out of sight. And I think it's just a lot of naivety at the back. I think Brophy is excellent going forward. He shouldn't be at left back. And he does the best he can, but he's positioning, he's closing down. It's just not up to it. And the lads in the middle just didn't really help him out much at all. It was a shame, but I mean, there's a lot of positive from all the games so far. I think the way that we did change tactics and change formation and look very dangerous, I think, is a positive. And I think we'll get there.
Well, we certainly know at any level in football that if you don't take your chances, it will come back to bite you. It will haunt you, especially in League Two now. You've jumped up. Adam, you was more worried about the officiating now in League Two. But teams, if you're not going to take those chances, it's going to hurt you. How disappointed were you that after going 1-0 up, 2-1 up, you've ended up losing the game?
Yeah, it was disappointing in terms of obviously not getting that third goal to put it to bed. But I guess mixed emotions about the game, because we did play some exciting stuff. First half, Louis Dennis started his first game, looked like the best player on the pitch. And to be honest, I probably changed my tune a bit in terms of one week it's saying we need more goals, and the next, I thought personally at 2-1, we've got a player on loan from Spurs who's billed as a good prospect, holding midfielder, and maybe with 20 minutes to go, 2-1 up, you bring him on, shore things up, give some support to the back four as well. But obviously, our old striker, our old mate Ollie Palmer comes on.
Didn't celebrate.
I predicted he'd score a hat-trick when he comes on, to be fair, so I was not far off. But yeah, like Rob said, naive defending, which is, to me, the worry at the moment. The defenders are the same players we had last year.
I want to go even harsher than that. I don't think it was naive. I think almost some of it was schoolboy defending. It looked really sloppy. Three men run into one ball at certain times, especially for the goals. Let's talk about your goal first, though, because you mentioned Louis Dennis there. And I actually want to give him credit in the Josh Wright goal, because it was him that won the ball on the edge of the box. He got it out wide. You know, obviously, Josh Wright's goal was just a brilliantly taken goal. And Josh Wright is someone that seems to love a celebration slide over by the dugout, isn't he?
Worried about his knees, to be fair. It's getting
the
on
disco
a bit,
slide.
He loves it. Great goal, to be fair. Last season, we got into a lot of positions like that when you thought you just need a player who's able to shoot from outside the box. We'd overwork it. And obviously this year, I think he's our leading scorer from deep midfield. So obviously that was a great start. Sloppy for the second, for the Crawley first, to be honest with you. I had about 10 chances to clear it, didn't. And then penalty, again, officiating, outstanding. Penalty all day long. And then, yeah, it sort of went downhill after that.
But, Rob, Adam mentions there that you had 10 chances to clear the ball. It shouldn't be taking 10 chances, is it? When are we going to learn from these mistakes? In the past games that when Orient have been fanned out and obviously exposed at the back, this can't be happening at this level, can it? And that's where I don't want to be harsh, but it was schoolboy defending, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's unlike us last season. Obviously, I think we've seen a decent step up in opposition. We could make these mistakes against a lot of non-league opposition and get away with it, but we're going to be punished. I think Crawley looked a good team as well. I think we can't take anything away from them. They were fairly positive. It was a nice all-round attacking game, and they beat Norwich yesterday as well, a strong Norwich team. So we might look back at the end of the season, it wasn't a bad result whatsoever, but I think there's a lot of positives all round, and I think we'll find our feet. With obviously George Marsh not coming on and bringing Gorman on instead, I think the substitutions of previous game were a lot more positive and made a big difference. This, I think, was the opposite. I think Dale Gorman offers absolutely nothing, and would have definitely given Marsh a chance. If he's not better than Gorman, then he's probably
might
not going
to.
He might as well go back. Yeah.
From a fan's point of view, Brendan, it's great when you're scoring goals. You know, fans get a great game, exciting. Not great when you're in these constant 4-3, 3-2. You had it against Mansfield, another 3-2 game. You don't want to be in too many of them, do you? It's great when you're flowing, free-flowing attacking football and you're exciting. But if you're not tight at the back, you know, it's going to cost you a lot of games as well in a season, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Embleton's got to find that right balance. Personally, for me, I feel like if we were going to play the 4-2-3-1 with Angle, Maguire, Drew and Dennis in like the three roles behind Wilkinson, then Brophy couldn't play left-back. I think we'd need... Dan Happy could have filled in there. I think not playing Dan Happy was a bit of a mistake. I think he's probably our best centre-half, definitely our best prospect. I think we did miss him, and we missed him in the air as well. He's really good.
Well, we have had a WhatsApp into the studio, and if you want to WhatsApp into the studio, you can call us on 0208 70 20 558 or tweet us at Love Sport Radio. All views are welcome. I'm not sure who this one is aimed at, but we can all answer it. It says, why do you hate Ross so much, and have you ever had any other gut feelings that have been wrong? I'm not sure any of you three really hate Ross, but I'm a bit scared. Adam seems keen to answer that.
Yeah, I think I know that is from Twitter. He seems to like replying to me on Twitter.
Okay. You've got a fan or a stalker.
Yeah. I don't dislike Ross. I don't necessarily think he's the long-term choice. I don't particularly think he wants to be a long-term choice, but I think on Saturday his naivety showed, and I think that the goals and the substitutions, as we've mentioned, not entirely down to him, but I think under a more experienced manager that probably wouldn't have happened. And for the record, I don't hate anyone, but probably not Ross's biggest fan at the moment. But it's all about opinions, isn't it?
It is. Well, I want to come back one, because I did make a note on Ross, and this wasn't sort of against you guys, but we've been doing this show a little while now, and a few weeks back when you did have that loss, albeit it was to Plymouth, you said that, you know, Ross was struggling to find balance, you know, and we spoke about Ross maybe being out of his depth a little bit. Then you got the win against Mansfield, and it was what a great win from Ross. Really pleased for Ross. This was the win that he needed. Great test of his character. He showed great strength. He come over to the fans, a weight off his shoulders. Now, got the defeat on the weekend. I'm not sure about Ross, what formation is he playing. So it is a little bit, I don't want to say fickle fans, but one minute Ross is brilliant and one minute it's not. We are only 5 games in, you know, unforeseen situation we find ourselves in. We have jumped up a level. Are we sort of judging Ross a little bit too much? Because I don't know how any manager would act in this situation. It's a very rare scenario we find ourselves in, isn't it, Rob?
Yeah, I mean, his first full permanent manager role, well, permanent or interim, but kind of whatever you want to call it, he's a manager as it stands. Scenario like nothing else. For me, there's been a lot more positives than negatives. I think he's a young guy learning the trade, been a coach for a long time, never really had the number one position. I think he's got a lot to learn. He'll probably be the first to admit that. I think the players have still got quite a lot to learn. For me, I think we've still got a long way to go before we can make a real decision on him. For me, there's a lot more positives than there are negatives so far. And I think we've adapted relatively well, bar the odd mistake and a bit of messing around at the back. I think there's still a lot of potential.
I think where Embleton has to get the right balance in the team, I think we might, as supporters, need to get the right balance between liking him and wanting him to do well, but also judging him fairly and being like, we can be critical of him because he is the manager and we know he's in an awful situation. It's been a horrible summer, but still we need to carry on as a football team and he needs to be criticised if he is not delivering.
Yeah, I think, and you know, I've probably been a bit negative on Twitter, but ultimately the amount of points he's got, 7 out of
you're
5 games.
You're not a troll, are you, Adam?
No, never. I don't like winding people up. People like winding me up. The points he's got, 7 from 5, I think if you average that out over the season, that's probably a firm mid-table finish, which I think everyone would probably accept. I think that for me, personally, regardless of the situation, when you've got a manager you know is going to be successful for you, you know quite soon, and I don't get that feeling. By all means, I want him to do well, would love him to prove me wrong, absolutely, but for me, I just don't get that feeling that he's our man long term.
Well, we have had another WhatsApp into the studio. Keep them coming, please. Orient Fan Show, comical defending second half on Saturday. As fans, we want the team to move away from three at the back. Is this the right thing to do? Who has egg on their face now, Ross or the fans? That's from Brenda. Brenda, thanks for WhatsApping into the studio there. Would you agree?
Brenda looks a lot like Julian, actually. Just can't stay away. It is interesting, and I think Brendan hit the nail on the head earlier when he said it's all about finding that balance. We've gone from not being able to score goals to just conceding lots, naive defending, as we've talked about. And yeah, I think it's not necessarily about the formation. It's more about the players you play in those positions. And like we touched on, Brophy at left back in a back four probably isn't going to work. I think if you had Widdowson in a back four there, we probably wouldn't have conceded that final goal, or at least we would have defended a bit better. But yeah, I guess fans were calling for it, the formation change. We got it 1-1 at Mansfield and then lost on Saturday. But I think it's just, regardless of situation, you need the players in the right positions and you need support, them to support each other.
Rob, egg on the face of the fans a bit strong, or do you agree?
I think so. Yeah, like Adam said, he's taken on board what's been said. I think how much managers actually take on board what people say, I don't know. But there's definitely been, obviously, changes in the way they've played and the formations and the team he's picked. It's a difficult thing to do, especially when you've got some good defensive players. Leaving Happy out was a big decision. Playing such an attacking team was a big decision and looked a good thing up until about 60 minutes. So I think it's a bit harsh. I think he's still trying to figure out the best way to play, the best players to play and find the right balance.
Well, just very quickly, we have had another WhatsApp into the studio. This is great so far. Genuinely, please keep coming. You can call us on 0208 70 20 558 or WhatsApp on the same number. I'll read this out. Hi, I don't think anyone can be surprised at our defeat against one of our biggest, bogeyest teams out there, Crawley. It was always going to be one of those days at the office. The biggest plus for me is the amount of chances we are creating, and they will turn into goals very soon. Someone will be on the end of an extreme hiding, very similar to the period in the run-up to the Gillingham game a few years ago when we beat them 5-1 when we had our Barron spell. We have strikers who are still raw, especially in this partnership, but they do have an abundance of goals in them. And without the introduction of Louis Dennis... Anyway, my question is, where is the air horn jingles? I don't know what they were trying to say there. I've read that all out. I'm out of breath. Can you make your WhatsApp slightly shorter, please, and get to the point? No, thank you for sending that. Brendan, what do you make of that?
Yeah, I think the worry would be that we've said that twice now. We said it after the Stevenage game, we've been really unlucky, we should have won. And then we said it today against Crawley. We'd start taking our chances, defending better, doing the basics right. But the base plays there, the interplay's there. But especially in creating chances, we're right up there with the best teams in the league. But yeah, need to start doing the basics better, I think.
Start doing the basics better. Always go back to the basics. We were talking a little bit of the Leighton Orient versus Crawley game, but it's time now just quickly to mention something far more important that we want to bring up. Brendan's going to tell you a little bit about it and something that we should all be mentioning. Brendan, please.
Yeah, sadly, on Saturday, we lost a real pillar of the Orient community in Dave Knight. He was the first editor of... He was a real committed fan, and he was the first editor of the Orienteer fanzine that's still going to this day. He was also a member of the Loft board and was instrumental in some of the demonstrations against our previous owner. So, yeah, he was also a real close friend of my dad's, and he was someone I hugely respect. I always stayed with him whenever I went up from games with me and my dad, and he's someone I greatly respect, and Brisbane Road will be an emptier place without him, I think. So I think I speak for everyone when send our condolences to his wife, Anne, and his two kids.
Certainly do. On behalf of Love Sport Radio, we echo those sentiments by Brendan Pitcher there. Our thoughts are with his family at this time. Next, we will be talking to Kent Teague, the Vice Chairman and Principal Investor at Leighton Orient.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the Leighton Orient Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with the E10 Mess podcast. I'm Charlie Hawkins and I'm joined by the knowledge Brendan Pitcher, Rob Edwards and Adam Sampson. And also we are now joined, delighted to be joined by Kent Teague, the Leighton Orient Vice Chairman and Principal Investor. Kent, thank you so much for giving us some of your time. We really appreciate you coming on. Firstly, Kent, how much of Leighton Orient did you know before you got invested in them? And was it always a case? We know that you wanted to become invested in sports teams. You were looking around for a few years. Did this just feel like the right project for you?
I knew about Leighton Orient, and good evening, by the way, and thanks for having me on.
Thank you for coming on, Ken.
Knew about Leighton Orient because of some emails that I'd gotten from some other fans in the United Kingdom, and so I knew about Leighton Orient's situation. It doesn't make any sense to be, the principal investor. It doesn't make emotional sense. It doesn't make financial sense. It doesn't make family sense. It doesn't make geographical sense. It doesn't make accent sense. I'm not sure I speak English. You know, it doesn't make any sense. And yet, Leighton Orient is perfect for me. And I think that Leighton Orient fans, hopefully they think that I'm really good for Leighton Orient. So while it doesn't make any sense, it still ends up being perfect.
Hi, Ken. I remember reading and watching interviews last year where you spoke about Justin's expectations maybe being slightly a bit higher than yours, saying he was from day one ready to win the league. Obviously we know expectations differ from person to person, but what would you say this season would consist of a successful one for the O's?
Well, I think my personal expectations, everyone on the board fills out a sheet of paper and we rank the 24 and decide where everybody's going to finish in the league. For me, I have us just slipping into the playoffs right at the end. So that's kind of where I've set the expectations. That's where our, payroll, if you will, player payroll sort of sits, is right in that 6, 7, 8, 9 slot. And so I believe that Ross and Danny and Joby will figure out a way for us to overperform, much like I believe that Justin did that last year. And so my hope is that we'll be solidly mid-table and hopefully we'll slip into the playoffs.
Hi, Ken. Obviously, we lost Bury as a football league yesterday. Very nearly lost Bolton. We could have been the Bury of 2 years ago before yourself and Nigel stepped in and not just saved us, but took us a long way forward. What do you think we can do or what do you think clubs can do to make themselves more sustainable and avoid this kind of happening on an ongoing basis?
Well, I think that there are two things that have to be looked at. Number one is the amount of spending that each club does, and really up to the owners to decide, are they spending, the appropriate amount. And from a league perspective, I think it's really important that the league checks in fairly often with the owners, making sure that they've got adequate resources to continue the spending at the level that they want. At what happens is that you will find a club that has made commitments, and that's what we found with Leighton Orient. You find that a club, a business, has made commitments, and they are bound to those commitments unless somebody can rework those or work them out. And so, 75% of the clubs outside of the Premier League lose money every year. And, that's very concerning. If you found an industry in which 75% of all the participants in that industry lost money on a yearly basis, you would have grave concerns over the viability of that industry or that set of businesses.
So I guess on that note, Ken, obviously you mentioned football clubs aren't a money-making business generally, but they are still a business. Obviously, you're an investor. How are you going to make your money back or even make a profit from Leighton Orient?
Oh, not going to make any money. Like I said, it doesn't make any financial sense being involved in football. You know, I didn't go into Leighton Orient in order to make money. And I really don't expect I'll ever get my money back from Leighton Orient. And that wasn't the point of my investment or my contribution. And each individual who invests in a football club goes at it from a very, very different perspective at times. So, but for me, it's not about the money necessarily. And, you know, maybe I'll get my money back. Maybe we'll get to the Premier League, but that would be really the only way is if we got to the Premier League. I don't think it's going to happen.
Kent, without being unrealistic. Without being unrealistic, what is the ultimate aim or expectation for Leighton Orient? Not just this season, but what's the five-year plan? We hear about this sometimes, and we know it doesn't really work out like that, especially in sport. But is there a sort of a long-term vision? Where can you see, or how far can Leighton Orient go down this journey?
Well, I think that, you know, for us to go from League Two to League One, I think that will happen in the next three or four years. And then after that, I think we will set ourselves up to try to get to championship in the following 3 to 4 years. So in 6 years, I think the objective is for us to be in championship. Then at that point, you know, an average championship club loses £20 million a year. They lose about £500 million as a league a year. At that point, we're going to have to find a different of investors and a different set of people who want to push the club sort of into championship and then through on to the Premier League. It's just that's a different level of economics that I'm not comfortable being the primary investor in. So I think that's the long-term objective. Whether we can find that person who would want to help push Leighton Orient forward, get ourselves really set up for championship, those are two different questions. Don't know the answer yet. Right now, our focus is on getting back to League One over the next 3 or 4 years.
So moving on to on-field matters, obviously the club has a budget for players, which I assume is relatively strict. Someone like James Alabi, who obviously a couple months ago was on the transfer list, obviously deemed not good enough for this league, is now making appearances off the bench. Could you just give us some insight as to what's changing the thinking behind that?
Well, James did a tremendous amount of personal work over the summer, came back in incredible shape, and James has a little desire and want to be in and around Leighton Orient and to, you know, play for Leighton Orient that we rarely see. And I just think that we have to give him the chance to be the best that he can be. He's obviously going to come off the bench at times when Ross and Danny and Joby decide that that's the type of change that we need. You know, football finance is a really complex thing because you've got players and their salaries, then you've got loans. Can you get the money back from a loan? Do you loan them laterally, down a league? How does all that work? So I think with James, it's just a specific of he is good enough to play in League Two. But we have some very, very strong people that are in front of him. And then the other thing I would say that is it takes 22 people really to win games in football. And the reason is because when people have to practice against James Alabi, so, you know, pick, you know, Happy and Ekpetita and Colson, when they've got to play against someone like, you know, James Alabi, he's getting them ready for the strikers that are on the other side in the next opponent or the next two opponents.
And we've got our first EFL trophy game on Tuesday. It's quite a controversial trophy considering it's brought in B teams over recent years and there's been a lot of boycotts. What are your views on that trophy?
For us, it's a competition that we are part of. We focus on trying to win every time we step onto the pitch. And so for us, it's one of those things where something put in front of us and we do our best to attack it and to go after it and to win. And so that, so for us, it shows up as another fixture on the list, and it's something that Ross and Danny and Joby will figure out how they want to attack it and how they want to approach it, and I'm sure we'll do the best we possibly can.
Kent, just quickly then to round it off, we know that you did want to invest in a sports team for quite a number of years, but we know that the number of sports in America is huge, the NFL, the basketball, the baseball. What made you invest in, as they call it, soccer over in the US? What made you invest in football and Leighton Orient?
Yeah, the reason that I invested in football, not American football or those other sports that you mentioned, is that it is the global game. I mean, there is the World Cup, and it is truly a World Cup in that it is for a reason. American football is played in a limited number of countries around the world. Baseball, limited number of countries. Basketball, limited number of countries. Hockey, mainly countries that have ice. And so, you know, the four major sports in America are not the global game, but the global game is truly football. And that's the reason I wanted to be a part of it and be invested in it, because I, you know, I like playing on the biggest stage that we possibly can.
Kent, well, we really appreciate you giving us some time. We know you're a very, very busy man. Kent Teague, thank you so much for joining us. And whenever you're in London, please come and join us in the studio. Kent, he's gone. He don't want to join us in the studio, clearly. I opened that invite, absolutely declined. Whatever, we got him on the phone. We can accept that. Kent Teague there, calling all the way from Dallas. If the line was a bit shaky, we were calling him from Dallas. But just brilliant of him to give us some time. Kent Teague there, the Leighton Orient Vice Chairman and Principal Investor. It is time for us to turn our attention to the weekend and the big game there.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
You're listening to the Leighton Orient Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I'm joined in the studio with the E10 Mess podcast, The Knowledge, Brendan Pitcher, Rob Edwards and Adam Sampson. We just must quickly shout out the other regular member that's not here, and the show's going really well tonight, yeah. Julian Fern. Ooh. So maybe there's something in that. The formation, you're saying three at the back. Well, we have a new three at the back tonight, and it seems to be working. Don't worry about Ross getting the result. We've got the result right here. But we are having a great time. We're talking about the game on the weekend. That wasn't a great result. We're going to be looking towards the game this weekend against Salford City. And obviously, we just had Kent Teague on the line, the Leighton Orient Vice Chairman and Principal Investor. Really grateful that he gave us some time. We really appreciate that. And his answers were really good as well. So we appreciate Kent Teague. But we have had more WhatsApps into the studio. I'm going to read a couple now. And if you want to join in, you can call us on 0208 70 20 558. The first one, having a team and a club united, could Orient now get too comfortable in accepting mid-table football? And we're just far too happy being back in the league, just liking the show and the stage. That's from Wayne from Walthamstow. Do we agree with Wayne there, Rob?
I think from where we've been, I think we're all very happy with where we are now. I think if you said 5 years ago we'd have been happy being mid-table in League Two, I think we'd have been very disappointed. But obviously a lot's happened since then. I don't think we'll get comfortable, because I don't think a lot of our fans will allow that to happen. I think we are quite a demanding bunch. And I think looking at the players, the manager, the board, I think they all want to go as far as they possibly can. Obviously, Kent there, we've mentioned the plan of being in the Championship in 6 years. I mean, that's not going to be easy. So there's going to be some pressure internally. And I think we all expect the club to get back to where they were 5-6 years ago and challenging for the Championship. So happy, yes, but comfortable, I don't think we would be.
Brendan, do you agree with the WhatsApp?
Yeah, it's about being realistic, really, just for this season only. Maybe in future season we can aim a bit higher, but just for this season only, like we have with the interim manager situation, we need to just maybe calm expectations a bit, maybe just steady, as long as the unthinkable doesn't happen and we go back to the conference, and that'll be a successful season for me.
The unthinkable indeed. You've also had a tweet, and this is from Neil Irvine. Was disappointed with Mars display on Saturday. I'm sure it was a one-off, but a very average Ollie Palmer totally owned him in the second half. Also, what were Palmer's non-celebrations about? He's hardly an O's legend. I would have preferred him to taunt us, if I'm honest. Some strong words there. I'll come to you, Adam. What do you make of that tweet? Thank you to Neil Irvine there.
Firstly, Ollie Palmer is one of the best strikers I've ever... No, I'm joking. he looked like one of the best strikers I've ever seen on Saturday. Marvin seems to be chatted about on this show probably more than any other player. I think he's divided a bit of opinion. Personally, I've backed him, but I agree. He has looked a bit shaky. And when Palmer come on, it didn't really look like anyone really knew who was meant to be picking him up from my point of view. He ghosted past quite a few players for both goals, actually. And it didn't really appear that anyone knew who was meant to be marking him, whether that's defensive problems, whether that's organisation or just knowing who you're marking. But I think we've mentioned several times, it's a step up for Marvin. Personally, I back him. I think he'll get up to speed. But at the same time, how long do you give him when we are shipping some goals and some of them are his fault before you bring on Happy, who is a very, very good prospect as well, who's sitting on the bench at the moment?
Yeah, I think, as we've said before, Marvin does look a bit shaky. Absolutely no doubt he'll find his feet. But I probably would have gone for Happy and Coulson on Saturday. I think Judd came on and looked very awkward as well. I think for Palmer's first goal, their second, he got around him far too easily, 10 yards out. There's no way he should be allowed two touches and to get past a right back there. Probably not been in the squad very long. Not been playing for very long. Possibly there's a bit of rustiness. But yeah, I wouldn't necessarily have picked Ekpiteta out as one of the worst defenders. I think just as a unit, they just weren't good enough.
Yeah, I agree. It'll be interesting to see what formation Ross plays on Saturday now, because it's clear that he needs to find, as we said, that right balance between maybe the five at the back that was too defensive and the four that's probably too attacking. I think four can still work as long as you've got solidity in front of that defence from the midfield, protecting them well. I think at times Coulson and Ekpiteta were left a bit exposed, and obviously any player is going to look at worse when they're exposed like that by their midfield.
You do wonder as well, they've been playing with three centre-backs for, well, end of last season,
since
start
January,
of this season, and,
yeah.
And maybe they don't expect that space in behind them. Maybe they're expecting a bit more cover. And just finally on that Ollie Palmer point, I think he typifies what Orient fans love in a striker. Someone who's useless but works hard. He got a little round of applause when he come on, but yeah.
Two goals, calling him useless, I don't know about that.
Know.
But he might not be an O's legend, as Neil Irvine tweeted, but still, there was a level of respect there. He didn't need to taunt you. He scored. I mean, that was damage in itself. And I thought it's quite a nice mark of respect. Still a former club. He doesn't need to go mad. So did you respect him for that?
Yeah, I mean, he was with us when we were probably our lowest. I think he got turfed out of the club in the last throes of our old chairman getting rid of all the players. And to be fair to him, there was a lot of youth team players and there was a lot of first team players that were refusing to play. And he got on with it. Again, he didn't set the world alight for us, but I do respect him as a player.
Well, we really appreciate all your tweets and WhatsApp into the studio, so please keep them coming. We're now going to a segment which we're calling hashtag Orient Weird, which is we're going to offer up our strangest Orient memory or story. Is that right, Rob?
Yes, I think we are.
Right,
I feel like
I threw it to the wrong person.
Supporting
Rob,
Orient.
That was Orient Weird in itself. I didn't know what was that. That's the segment. It's ended.
Hashtag Orient Weird. I think as an Orient supporter, Orient are naturally, I don't want to say a bit of a joke club, but you've got to have a sense of humour. There's some weird stuff that goes on. There's some funny stuff. So each week we're going to pick our funny stories, moments, weird stuff that happens during the week. And I guess I'll start. I don't know if we should mention one of our rivals, but there was a comment made by a former player on the Orient Hour about Sam Ling, our defender, which was then apparently blown out of proportion, and our manager mentioned it in his post-match interview. So hopefully this week Ross will mention something from this show in his post-match interview and call us out.
We know he's listening.
Of course, yeah. So yeah, that's my moment.
Your moment, Brendan, what's your moment?
Going back to Ollie Palmer again, it's how former Orient players always seem to find a way of scoring against us. I think I'm looking at Cambridge in a few weeks. Jabo Ibre, he's still playing up front for them. I think that's a guaranteed one goal head start to Cambridge before you even began with him on the field.
Well, Rob, now you've had a bit of time. I went to Adam and Brendan first. Do you have a moment yourself?
Not really, but I think one thing I've seen throughout kind of Twitter over the last few years is just the Orient fashion. I particularly enjoy the Orient fashion hashtag of some shocking gear that people wear on a Saturday. So I'd like to see more of that, really.
More rascal clobber there. Well, let's talk a little bit about the rivalry then with Salford, because you do play them this week. And, you know, people may find this strange, but there is a little bit of rivalry between the two teams. Obviously, you both come up last year, both were promoted. We know what happened in those games. There was a little bit of handbags. But has that spilled over into this season? Because I remember on the first show we did, we spoke about it. You already was looking towards that game. That date was in the diary. It's now upon us. Adam, is it sort of a team's scores and results that you do look out for and you're sort of really up for this one this weekend?
Not really.
Don't back down now. I know. I've just G'd it up for 2 minutes.
It's a weird one because I can't imagine it'd be a rivalry, if you want to put it like that, that lasts for a while. I think obviously we were on their tails. First game of the season, we were on the pitch after we scored equaliser. It was one of my favourite moments from last season in that first game. Obviously, they wouldn't leave us alone in the table. They're always behind us. And I guess a lot of, not just Orient fans, football fans don't agree with the way they've gone about it. So I don't think they're a well-liked team. Obviously, it would be good to win like it would be any team. But personally, I haven't got too much of a problem with Salford, and Gary Neville's my best mate. So,
Brendan, do you agree? Is there a little sort of... There's a little bit of needle between the two teams.
It's very easy to hate Salford because of the way they're funded and the media attention they get. So obviously that brings into it. And also they did, I don't want to mention it, but they beat us 3-0 last time they played us, and we thought that might be the end. But we did well to overcome that and beat them in the league. And I think also I saw something on Twitter the other day. It was a poll of which teams other teams hated the most. And Salford wasn't in the top five of ours, but Orient was in the top five of theirs. So,
maybe there's a bit of needle from their side. Yeah. Is it a little bit then? You did touch upon it there then, Rob. Brendan said that they are bankrolled. You know, that's not how Leighton Orient work. They've sort of flown through the leagues, you know, this class of 92 behind them. Is there a little bit of like, that, you know, they haven't earned their stripes. They've just sort of been given them, and here they are sort of on the stage and on the show giving it big guns.
Yeah, I think so. It's very difficult to get out of a non-league. And they've done it very quickly with obviously huge budgets that they've been spending. I think the media side is what's really turned a lot of teams against them. Obviously, their first two games were both live on Sky, and you've got fans from Port Vale and Crewe and Accrington that have not been on Sky for 5 years. And
their League Cup game was on Sky.
I mean, Stevenage isn't going to be a glamour tie. No offence to Stevenage, and there was plenty of other League Cup games that could have been on. So I think that they've immediately not endeared themselves to the Football League and have made a few. I wouldn't say enemies, but people that not particularly warm to them. So I think there'll be a team that a lot of people want to beat.
Well, we won't say too much because we are playing them this weekend, and we're going to get the opposition view because we're talking to Wendy Perry, who is Salford City's mascot.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
You're listening to the Leighton Orient Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I'm joined in the studio with the E10 Mess podcast, The Knowledge, Brendan Pitcher, Rob Edwards and Adam Sampson. I feel bad. Brendan's the only one with a nickname, but don't worry. Those will come. They're earned. They're not given. We will get to them. We have been talking the game against Crawley, the disappointing 3-2 defeat. We had Kent Teague on, the Leighton Orient vice chairman and principal investor. It was great to hear from him. We were talking all about this weekend's game, and I'm delighted to say we have Wendy Perry on the phone, Salford City's mascot. Babs, the mascot. Wendy, thank you so much for joining us tonight and giving us a little bit of your time. Firstly, how are you this evening, and how did it come about for you to be the mascot of Salford City?
I think it was they used to have a lady and a gentleman that was Billy, Bobby and Babs. And she kind of disappeared, and then Billy disappeared, and there was just little Bobby on his own. And I was speaking to Karen, who is the chair lady, and she said, "You'd make a great Babs." So I said, "Yeah, I don't mind doing it." And I absolutely love it, to be honest. It is great.
Wendy, I've got to be honest, you sound like a fantastic Babs. I don't care for Billy or Bobby, but Babs is the way forward, I'm going to say. I mean, Kent Teague was
on
the line earlier.
At least I'm not a pie.
Kent Teague was on the phone earlier, and he said, you know, we put teams into tiers. And if we're talking mascot tiers, I'm definitely going to say you're in the top five.
Thank you.
What other mascots do you look out for? Is there a rivalry amongst mascots? Do you get together? Is there a big WhatsApp group? You know, is there a meet beforehand?
No. I mean, you don't normally. I only mascot when I'm at home. There's not many away games that allow your mascot to come with you. So it is like you only ever see the home mascot So if we're playing away, we'll see their mascot. If I'm playing at home, it's me. But I do tend to go down to the away end, and God, I get some stick from them all. But I just kind of blow kisses at them and curtsy. And I'm like, I'm a lady, hello. But I think that the fans love it. You know, they start singing the usual chants. But I do get a lot of people that will come along and they'll say, oh, it's great to meet you. I've met all the mascots. Can I have a picture with you? And it's just fantastic, really. It is a really, really, really good thing to be doing. And with Salford being so family-orientated, I just have fun with the kids. You know, Easter time we did an Easter egg hunt, and I was like the Pied Piper with all these kids following me. You've got to remember is, when you've not got the suit on, don't high-five those kids. You just look like a weirdo.
As much as I'd love to say on this topic of mascots, I feel like we sort of now have to move on to the football pitch.
Go on, with the boring bit. So the football.
Obviously, for Salford so far this season, obviously, first season in the Football League, hasn't been the greatest of starts, not probably the worst, but I guess...
I disagree with you, though.
So in terms of, obviously, you've the expectation perhaps at the club is all the promotions you've had year after year. What sort of is the ideal final position for you this season? Is it another promotion, or are you just happy to consolidate?
Obviously, it'd be fantastic. But obviously, stepping away from, you know, and becoming a fan again now. I mean, I'd be ecstatic if we went up. But middle of the table, to me, would be fantastic as well. You know, you've got some absolutely fantastic teams in that league. We played Plymouth away last week. You know, we come away with a draw from there. And that was one of the teams that I was like, oh, are they going to, you know, paste us really? But we played absolutely fantastic. There hasn't been a match that I've been to and thought, oh my God, they've not got a chance in this league. You know, there was one match I didn't go to, which was Crawley, and apparently that was the one. But other than that, I think we've had a great start. You know, we're just finding our feet. We've got Richie Towell now. I mean, he's amazing. He really is amazing. He didn't play at weekend against Carlisle because his lovely wife just had a little girl. I disagree with how the start that we've had. I think we've had a good start, mate.
And you made some headlines over the last few years with some of the money you've spent. Hasn't been quite the same this year. Do you think there'll be any more incomings before deadline day?
I've no idea. I really haven't. I mean, obviously, they need to see how the team... is gelling, and Graham's doing a fantastic job. He's swapping people about and putting them in different places. And I think, to be quite honest, I don't think that they need to spend any money because the players that we've got are fantastic. They really, really are.
I'm going to go back to the whole mascot thing because that was a lot of fun. I'm considering a career change. So yes. What kind of training would you need to go through to be a mascot?
As long as you don't sweat, you'll be all right.
I'm going to call that a day.
It's like very, very warm inside there. And I have a little fan inside the head. Not a football fan. A little fan bubbles on your face. And that helps. That does help. But it's hard work. It's not an easy job to do.
It doesn't sound easy. I mean, listen, you had Billy and Bob on the scene. Now it's Babs only. This is, you know, only you can pull this off, Wendy. I'll be honest, I'm gutted we didn't get you on the phone earlier because this has been a fantastic segment. I mean, we could have run with this one all day long. I mean, Salford, I'll be honest, they're missing a trick. You don't go away games. I mean, if there isn't a crowd fund by the end of this show to get your travel down to away games, we're missing a trick. But back to the football matters, Wendy, before we do lose you, just a quick score prediction for the weekend. What are you thinking? What is your result?
Well, look what we did at them. Look what we did to them away. 3-0.
I'll be honest,
that
Wendy, you're not
amazing.
Making a lot of friends. This is the Leighton Orient fan show. Friendly advice.
Listen,
friendly advice.
I would love to win 3-0 again. We have all the fans of club together. We've got a nice flag of Justin that we are going to present to the Leighton Orient fans before the start of the match. You know, at the end of the day, football's football, isn't it? But we're all as one.
Definitely a bigger picture. That's very that's very touching from the Salford City fans there. Wendy, thank you so much for giving us
time.
You're
very welcome.
We really wish you well for the future, and you surely are the best mascot we've ever had on the show.
100%.
Wendy, thank you so much. We wish you nothing but the best. Wendy Perry there, Salford City's Babs the mascot. Billy and Bob are no more. She says she's hoping for another 3-0, a repeat like last year, but it is now time for your predictions. The knowledge... We're going to save you till last, of course, because you're the one that's going to get it right. Adam, I'll come to you first. What's your score prediction for the weekend?
Still thinking about where Billy and Bob are. Like, what's she done with them?
Hashtag let's find them.
Let's find them. I think it's going to be high scoring. I think both teams have conceded quite a few goals this season, scored quite a few as well. I'm going to go with a 3-1 Orient.
3-1 Orient, strong.
Don't know where that come from.
I'm not sure either, but strong... bold prediction there, especially after a defeat. You're saying that Orient are going to bounce straight back and bounce back strongly. Rob, what do you say?
I agree with Adam. I think there'll be a fair few goals. I think we've shown a lot of attacking prowess and a bit shakiness at the back. They've obviously got a lot of goals in them. I think I'm going to go for a Desmond. I think 2-2. I think we'll pull a nice point out the bag.
2-2. Brendan, the knowledge, you're the only score that matters. What are you going with?
I predicted a win last week and then kind of played on my mind all afterwards after we lost. I feel like I jinxed it a bit. So I'm going to try and reverse Jonah it and go for 2-1 Salford.
2-1 Salford. I'm going to go... I said draw last week, did I? Did I say draw, Ed?
I
think so, it's a draw. All right, well... it's because you're away and I'm banking on your home form and you're away, but I'm going to go for another draw this weekend because Salford haven't been great. I think they've been indifferent, a bit like yourselves. I think Orient are going to try a bounce back, but I still think it's going to be a tough game. I'm going for a draw. Julian, if you're listening, you've got about 30 seconds to give us your prediction, but we'll see. What would have Julian gone for? Because he's quite pessimistic.
No, he's
the opposite. I'd say 4-0 Orient. Yeah. He hates Salford as well. Yeah.
Right, 4-0. 4-0.
As long as he gets his KFC, he'll be happy.
As long as he gets his KFC, he'll be happy. Well, it's been a brilliant show. We have been talking about the Crawley game. We were talking about the game on the weekend against Salford City. And, of course, we had Kent Teague on the phone, the Leighton Orient vice chairman and principal investor. We did have Wendy. She was saying 3-0. We're hoping for a much better scoreline than the one on the weekend. Come on, the O's.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.